We are going to talk a little Pittsburgh Penguins, Tampa Bay Lightning, puck drop in under 2 hours' time. Steven Stamkos playing tonight, unlikely, but Anton Stralman, a pretty good chance as the Penguins try to even up this series at one after losing the first game to the Lightning. Josh Yowie joins us from Pittsburgh. You can read him at deconpittsburghsports.com. Josh, welcome back to the show, man. How are you?
Hey, good afternoon, guys. How are you?
I'm excellent. Excellent. Well, Josh, the Penguins, I guess, Olli Maatta, what is it, the struggles from the concussion you feel? What's wrong with his game?
I don't know that it's the concussion, really. I just, you know, in watching Olli Maatta, his skating is just brutal right now. I don't know how it looks on television because I'm at every game, but just in person, you can just see how slow he looks. And I think he's out of gas. He has had major shoulder surgery in each of the last two summers. And as a result, he hasn't been able to train the way he's wanted to. And I just think he's exhausted and he can't skate the way he needs to, especially against Tampa. The way those forwards of the Lightning can skate, it sure looked like a bad matchup in game one. So that means your old friend Justin Schultz will be in the lineup this evening for the Penguins.
Now, Justin Schultz, I watched in the second round against Washington, and Schultz is not going to wow you, but he didn't make the glaring mistakes that Washington's depth defenseman made that ultimately, I felt, cost him the series, especially on two goals from Weber and Schmidt. I actually thought Schultz played pretty well.
Justin has played well since the day he arrived in Pittsburgh. The Penguins have used him much differently than the Oilers did. They have him in a third-pairing role, and it's been that way really exclusively in the games in which he's played. But I happen to think that he's really played well. The Penguins are pleasantly surprised with what he has done. As you know, his offensive instincts are so good. He knows when to jump into the play. He's done it really well. He's created some offense, both doing that and also on the second power play. He's done a very nice job. And, you know, I was expecting this defensive train wreck when he came to Pittsburgh. I haven't seen it yet. Now, mind you, they've managed his minutes, and he's not out there against top lines very often. But he and Ian Cole have really forged a great on-ice relationship. There's a lot of chemistry with those two, and they've played well together. And I assure you, everybody in the Penguins organization has been pleasantly surprised with Schultz. They knew there was talent there, certainly, but they got him more for depth than anything else, I believe. And they really like what they've seen, and for good reason. He's done a very nice job.
You know, Schultz, when he's not having to be a top-pairing defenseman, because he's just not a top-pairing defenseman, can right. make smart plays of the puck. He talked here in Edmonton that his confidence was shot. Have you had a chance to talk to him, Josh? Does he look like a player that he has his confidence again?
I think he does, and no, he's been so open about that. In the day he was traded, I talked with him on the phone, and he essentially admitted that he was just a broken player and that he needed to get a fresh start, and he had no confidence at all. And I asked him a couple of weeks ago, I said, how much has your confidence come back since then? And he said, I don't know if it's all the way back, but I'm really getting there. He said he felt good about himself, and that's just it. He's not the star player that I think a lot of people in hockey maybe thought he was a few years ago. But that doesn't mean that he can't be a perfectly competent NHL defenseman with some offensive skill. That's, I think, how the Penguins view him. I don't know if they ever think he'll be a top four guy, but they've used him as number six guy for a lot of the time since he's arrived in Pittsburgh, and he's really handled it well, and he's gotten better and better. In fact, I don't know exactly how many games he's played with the Penguins. I would guess it's 15 to 20, but he's been on the ice for five goals against in that entire stretch, so he has not been the defensive nightmare that I was expecting at all.
Josh Yowie joins us. Now, Josh, I don't see Pittsburgh qualifying Schultz because that means they'd have to pay him $3.6 million. Right. But they could work out an agreement prior, right, to just give him an extension. Do you think they re-sign him at a lesser number, maybe closer to like, $1.5 or $2 million?
I really think they would like to. And you're right, they're not going to give him that qualifying money. And I think he understands that. And I don't think anyone around the league would. But could I see the Penguins giving him a two-year, $4 million contract? Yeah, I absolutely could. The Penguins don't have a lot of free agents coming up from this current team, but one guy who is a free agent is defenseman Ben Lovejoy. He's unrestricted, and he's another guy who's not a star, but he's actually had a really solid playoff. I suspect somebody will give him a good chunk of money this summer, probably a little bit more than he's worth, because that's the way it works when you have a good playoff and you're a defenseman and you're a right-handed defenseman. Teams go crazy for that. And I wouldn't be shocked at all if Ben leaves, and that kind of leaves a void on the blue line for the Penguins, and they don't really have any other prospects other than Derek Pouliot coming up. So I absolutely think they would like to sign Schultz. I get the feeling that they think he's done a nice job, and they still see something there. So they really think he can be a productive NHL player, and they just want to work with him a little more. And to do that, they're going to have to sign him for a couple of years. So I really think they'll make an honest effort to do so. They've been very impressed.
Josh Owe joins us from Pittsburgh. Now, Josh, not a great game one for the Pittsburgh Penguins, all things considered, especially Ben Bishop gets hurt early in the game. They don't take advantage of that. There's no Stroman. There's no Stamkos. They find themselves down 1-0, but they were in this situation in the last round against Washington and came back and won three straight before winning the series in six. But this Tampa Bay team, you know, they're still being, it sounds strange, but kind of underrated, specifically Kucherov. He might be like him and Hedman, but Kucherov's their best forward right now for Tampa Bay. And, you know, how do you think they're going to try to slow him down?
Well, yeah, he's a special talent, no question. And, you know, just looking back at game one, I'm not trying to make excuses for the Penguins because Tampa just played a real solid professional game. But I think it was hard for the Penguins to get that intensity level back up after such of a dramatic game six victory against the Capitals. And they just didn't have a whole lot of energy in game one. It almost didn't feel like a conference final game, just, you know, being there watching it. They had nothing in the tank, and maybe it's been a good thing that they've had 72 hours in between games one and two. I suspect they'll have a much better effort tonight, but I agree with you. I think Tampa's very much under the radar. I guess there was a thinking that without Stamkos, they were, you know, this very beatable team. Well, they're beatable, but they're also really good. And they're just a well-coached, solid hockey team with a ton of skill, even without Stamkos. And, you know, hey, just because the Islanders and Red Wings didn't provide them with the most difficult draw in the world to get to this point, that doesn't mean they aren't a good team, because I happen to think they are.
Now, Crosby and Malkin, well, you know, Crosby was scoring the lights out in the first round, and then against Washington, they didn't do much. He did get a point in the first game of this series. But when you look at Crosby and Malkin, and you know, I know it's many years ago, but you go back, those two single-handedly carried the Penguins to their Stanley Cup victory back in 2009. They combined for 64 points. No one else in the team had 15. It was an unreal run by those two. What's not working offensively for them?
Well, for one thing, the power play is not really working. It's been a little streaky. It had a couple of good games in a row, but in general, it's not good at all. That's always a nice place for them to get some cheap points, if nothing less. And they haven't been able to do that. You know, the Washington series, Crosby, I wouldn't say he played poorly, but he went head-to-head against Nick Backstrom, and, you know, neither one of them could score. Those are both very good defensive players as well, and Carl Alzner and Matt Niskanen really did the job against him. And it was an impressive performance. And you're right, Crosby and Malkin in 09, they were lights out. And if you look at their numbers, really since about 2010, neither guy has been nearly the same player in the playoffs that he was when he was young. Crosby and Malkin, their first three or four postseasons, just outrageous numbers. In fact, I know Crosby, at one point, right after the Penguins won the Stanley Cup, might have been 2010, I looked at his points per game in playoff history, and Gretzky and Lemieux were the only two guys ahead of him. So that's how good he was in the playoffs his first few years. Hasn't been the same since then, and you know, he and Malkin have to be better. They're just not making good decisions with the puck, especially Malkin. He's just trying to do too much, trying to beat the whole team on every shift, you know, trying to skate through everyone. That's when he struggles. And I will tell you, those two need to be better, because as good as the Nino Hagelin and Kessel line has been, as much depth as the Penguins have, they're not winning eight more playoff games without Crosby and Malkin having some seriously big impacts.
Yeah, I would agree with you wholeheartedly there, Josh. The other thing is, you know, Phil Kessel's like, this guy's a dynamic player. I don't think there's anything, you know, no arguing that. Don't they have to find a way? Like, as good as Bonino and that line's played, you'd still think Phil Kessel should be able to be more productive with a Malkin or Crosby.
You would think so. And, you know, it's funny, the Penguins and Coach Mike Sullivan are very hesitant to break up the Nick Bonino, Carl Hagelin, Phil Kessel line. And I get it. It's been really good. But at some point, you have to look at this roster, I think, and say, you know, Kessel and Hagelin are the two best wingers on the team, and neither of them is playing with Crosby or Malkin. And eventually, that's a problem, I think. And, you know, I understand that that line has been good, but my goodness, you're not going anywhere without Crosby and Malkin producing. I think you need to take care of them before you take care of Nick Bonino. that's not a knock on Bonino. He's been wonderful in the playoffs for the Penguins. But, you know, yes, Kessel did not play well with Crosby when they put them together. But that was in October when Crosby was really struggling. And, frankly, Kessel wasn't playing that great either. Both guys are playing at a much higher level right now. And I wouldn't mind seeing them together. And I don't think you'll see it tonight. But if the Penguins lose tonight and go down 2-0, you're going to see a lot of changes to Game 3 in Tampa. You might see a goaltender change, and I have no doubt you'll see some lines switched around.
Speaking of goaltending, everybody's kind of waiting for Murray and then them to go back to Fleury. Do you think it happens if they lose tonight?
I do. I absolutely do. You know, I certainly was not critical of Mike Sullivan for leaving Matt Murray in for the entire Washington series. That would have been an awfully tough spot to bring Fleury in, you know, to a game six when you haven't played in 2 months or a month and a half or whatever it is. But I personally probably would have made the move in game one, given Fleury the beginning of the series. And that's nothing against Matt Murray. Now, listen, this kid's really going to be a wonderful NHL goalie. I don't think anyone disputes that. And he's been very good, but he hasn't been as good as last three or four games. His last three games, in fact, his numbers have been pretty ordinary. And I still view Fleury as a guy who's just more physically gifted because he's more physically gifted than just about any goaltender in the league. And you know, Marc-Andre's coming off of the best season statistically of his career. I think he has exercised all the playoff demons because in the last two postseasons, he's been really, really sound. And I was a little surprised they didn't go back to him before game one against Tampa. And it will be interesting to see how Mike Sullivan plays this. But if Murray struggles at all tonight or the Penguins lose, I fully expect to see Fleury between the pipes in Tampa on Wednesday night.
If now, does it depend how they lose? Like if Murray makes 40 saves and they lose 2-1, is that one thing? Well, or is it if Murray have to give up a bad goal to lose his starting job?
Well, maybe he'd have to give up a bad goal. I had the same thought. I thought, you know what, if he loses 1-0 but they still lose, then it's a really strange situation for Sullivan. But, you really sense Fleury's just itching to get back in there. And I don't know if you subscribe to the theory that it can affect a team who the goaltender is. And listen, this team likes Matt Murray. They know how good he is. But, you know, when I think of the best players on the team especially, Fleury's their guy. They've been together a long time. They've been trying to get that second cup together for 7 years now. And I get the sense the players are ready to have him back in there. So it's a dicey situation for the head coach right now. It really is.
Interesting. Well, Josh, should be a good game tonight. We appreciate it. And Penguins, now going down 2-0 wouldn't be the end of the world, but unfortunately it would be pretty close, I would think, for the Penguins to come back in this series if they'd lose tonight.
Yeah, I wouldn't count them out, but winning 4 out of 5 against Tampa and 3 out of 4 on the road, that doesn't sound like a recipe for success. So pretty big game tonight for the Penguins, no doubt.
Appreciate your time, Josh. Have a good one.
All right, my pleasure. Anytime.